It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
This is Husker Online, your authority on Nebraska athletics. In this weekly show, the Husker Online team will give you the latest insight on Husker football, basketball, baseball, and of course, recruiting. Now, here's your host, Husker Online publisher, Sean Callahan.
Hello here and welcome again to another edition of the Husker Online show. Sean Callahan, Robin Washit, Steve Sipple taking it into the first week of the month of March. And guys, it's been a much different March than really any of us have experienced in a long time, because we're talking a lot of basketball and we're coming out of the gates hot, opening headlines with hoops, because Keisei Tominaga, this team, the 18-1 home record, it's captivated the state of Nebraska. Nebraska, at least as we sit here heading in their final game against Michigan on Sunday, Robin, they look squarely in the field. It's a matter of now where they land, whether it's anywhere from maybe a 7 to a 10 seed at this point.
Yeah, I mean, going into the Rutgers game, the one like slight worry you had was, what if Nebraska loses out, loses four straight? Then all of a sudden it changes the dynamic. Well, they didn't. They won comfortably, as expected. And now you're going to this Michigan game where, like you said, it's not a matter of making or breaking your tournament hopes. It's a matter of how high of a seed can you get with that Michigan game and then on into Minneapolis in the Big Ten tournament. So a very comfortable situation for Nebraska to be in. You know, they are listed as of Tuesday afternoon in 104 of 104 brackets. They have a 95% chance on team rankings, a 90% chance on Bart Torvik. So basically, they're in. It's just a matter of where they're going to be and what seed they're going to get.
How much fun is that? Now, there's still work. And you know what work is to me? Going to Ann Arbor, Michigan, and playing a Sunday game at 11 a.m.
Yeah.
That's work.
It's good for the road team, though. It's going to be dead in that arena.
That's not good for the road team. You got to generate a lot of energy.
There won't be any crowd there.
No, you'd rather have a crowd. Any coach would tell you.
Well,
that.
They played the Iowa game.
You'd rather have a crowd.
They played the Iowa game with like 50 people in that
right.
arena, and
didn't
they got
help.
Blitzed. So
didn't help at all.
No. And maybe a group of Nebraska fans will find their way there.
Right.
Maybe.
That I would think.
I know a lot of people are going to Minneapolis like 3 days later, they might be picking and choosing their postseason travel over that one.
No, you don't want that as a player. Sean, you wouldn't have wanted that as a player. We're going to an arena with nobody in it. You know? I mean, it's no fun.
But, yeah, that will be a challenge. You just wonder, like, Juwan Howard, is it his last game at Michigan? I mean,
couldn't it? Rob?
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of momentum behind that. I know that there's also people look at what he did to start. They were really good. I mean,
with John Beilein's players.
Though. Yeah. Yeah. But he's also been recruiting at a high level. They all just went pro and left the program. So if they had Hunter Dickinson right now, they'd probably be a much different team. But
why did Hunter Dickinson leave? That's what begs the question.
Yeah. I'm sure that goes back to the issues that have unraveled on them this year, where the culture's a mess and they don't like each other. And so that's what you're getting into. So, you know, that game aside, again, that's a game where you're only going to potentially strengthen your resume losing it. The one worry you have is if Michigan, they don't play until Sunday, so they're a week off like Nebraska is. If for some reason they dip below that 135 mark in the net rankings, because then that turns it from a quad two game to a quad three. And the one thing Nebraska doesn't have on its resume is a quad three or four loss. So if Michigan somehow dips below 135 and gets into that quad three territory, then Nebraska goes into that with, once again, the chance of adding a quote-unquote bad loss to its resume, which isn't going to make or break their tournament, their bid. It's just going to matter of maybe potential seeding implications.
You're listening here to the Husker Online Show. As we talk opening headlines, Nebraska basketball, we're a few weeks out still from spring practice. Robin, it was senior day in Pinnacle Bank Arena, and probably one of the more memorable ones that we've seen. You had Keisei Tominaga and a number of international reporters, a local Lincoln player, Josiah Alec, in the way he played. Now, C.J. Wilcher could come back still, yes. Right?
He graduated in December, and so he decided to wait to walk for graduation until the spring so his family could be here. So that was purely an academic thing. Like, his family made it into town and walked with him on senior night, so it was more to do with that. And go back a few years ago to Derek Walker. Same thing. He became the first member of his family to graduate from college, and so they wanted to honor that. And his family came in, even during the COVID year, and they honored him, and he had two more senior nights after that.
Yeah, he walked three times.
So that whole thing, I don't put much stock into that, especially
he'll be well
in the situation.
To come back.
CJ's got a good situation right now. I mean, he's got a good NIL package. He's playing a bunch on a good team. You know, I think he's happy here. He's really invested in the community. So I don't put a lot of stock into that one way or the other. And I know there's been a lot of questions about who has eligibility, who doesn't. The only three that for sure do not have eligibility are Keisei Tominaga, Josiah Alec, and Jerron Boogie Coleman. CJ can come back. Rink Mass can come back. Bryce Williams, Juwan Gary. All those guys have another year of eligibility. So, you know, with this renewed interest and momentum behind the program and the quality of basketball they're playing, the product that people are getting behind, NIL should be able to help potentially retain a good chunk of that, if not all of them.
Look at the crowds. Look at there can't be many places in America.
Seventh nationally in attendance.
Yeah. It's not just the sheer attendance. It's the energy. I can't believe there's too many buildings in America with that kind of energy for a college basketball.
There are multiple Big Ten coaches that say maybe next to Mackey Arena at Purdue, it's the hardest place to play in the Big Ten right now.
Champaign came to mind.
Yeah, some people would say Nebraska's harder.
Really?
Yes.
I'm not surprised. It's ridiculous.
Isn't Rutgers sneaky hard?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're always really good at home.
And it's a dumb, it's not a nice arena.
It's just a grind place. And again, a lot of what makes a place hard to play is the quality of the team. So Illinois, it's a really great home court advantage because they're really good. Mm-hmm. But with Nebraska, even when they were bad, and they've been bad for a long time, that crowd was there. And if they gave them anything to cheer about, that place could blow up. So that's the separator for me is, you know, there's a lot of bandwagon atmospheres that are elite when the team is elite.
Right.
But when Nebraska was the bottom feeder of the conference, they were still generating 8,000 to 9,000 people per game.
Well, and now it's not like they're ranked. I mean, I would call it an incredible atmosphere. Mm-hmm. It's incredibly loud. The last two games, Minnesota and Rutgers, were incredibly loud.
Four straight sellouts to end the year.
Yeah, it is a legit sellout.
Oh, yeah.
State of Nebraska with Creighton and Nebraska both filling venues. I mean,
isn't that wild?
It's really no. I mean, it's like a smaller version of Louisville and Kentucky in the same state. I mean, they have two big, huge venues they fill in that state.
God, that's a good point. Wild.
There's just not like a lot of. I mean, California. Those teams don't fill their arenas.
No.
But Tominaga, I want to hit on this, Robin. Mm-hmm. Am I crazy to think that he could get his jersey up in those rafters someday?
There's only four.
Yeah,
but
I don't
just
know
the
about
impact
that.
He's had. I don't think so. If they win a tournament game,
ooh,
maybe
the way he's captivated.
If they win a tournament game,
I've not seen a player light that arena up like that.
I mean, look how long it took Tyronn Lue to get his jersey.
So the four are Lance,
Hoppin,
Lue,
and Piakowski.
Like Strickland's is not even up there.
Yeah,
no.
So that's where I have hesitation. I mean, Keisei has been a marketing phenomenon and has captivated the entire fan base as an international star. But as far as the overall his meaning to the program,
his numbers, I don't
know. Yeah, I mean, there's several other guys that I would put higher on the list than him. But that being said, I don't know if there is a player that has reached the point of celebrity that Keisei Tominaga is. And I say that not just because of what he means around here, but the fact that on senior night, there were five different media outlets with multiple reporters that traveled all the way from Japan to come cover that game. Like, that's how big of a deal he is back in his home country.
Win a game.
And his jersey has to be the most sold by
far. Yeah. I mean,
my
eight-year-old
daughter has a Keisei jersey, and she does the...
The Steph Curry.
She does.
She do
the Steph Curry. Where is it?
And so she was doing it the entire game, and I had to explain to Carly this will be his last game. What? Mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, this is the last game in Lincoln. You know,
interesting. If they win a game and he has a big game, well, what if they win two? See, drives me nuts when we just talk about, well, if they win one game. They could. This team could win more than
if
one
If they
game.
Shoot like they've done at times this year, they can beat anybody.
Uh-huh.
They Problem beat the number is, one team in the country.
That's what I mean.
That would also require them to win multiple games away from Pinnacle Bank Arena, which...
Neutral site, though.
They're undefeated in neutral site.
Sioux Falls, baby.
That's right. Hey, if they go to Omaha, look out.
Because you could have Iowa State or Kansas and Omaha on the other side of Nebraska. I mean, it's a pipe dream. Like, I just can't imagine. Can you imagine, by the way, how much that ticket would cost?
Those Creighton season ticket holders are going to make bank.
They still, well, the lower bowl, I feel like, in those tournament games and CHI is protected for the teams. Because there's eight teams there, and they, you know, you get a section per team. So they stuff you as a season ticket holder in the upper decks. I mean, I think it's really hard to get a lower bowl type seed if you're out of the allotment of a team in the tournament. I mean, you're going to be up high unless you want to pay.
But it is interesting that like the thought was the selection committee was going to try to avoid those types of seedings where a local team basically gets to play a home game in the tournament. But that's not the case. That rule only really applies to being a higher seeded team. Like so they. When it comes down to the at-large bids, like, it doesn't matter. Like, they're going to put the team that's geographically closest. So I think there's a legitimate chance Nebraska could end up in Omaha. Salt Lake City, Brooklyn.
Spokane. Charlotte.
Memphis. Those are the ones that have been mocked.
Just say no to Brooklyn.
Yeah.
We don't need to go to Brooklyn.
Yeah, Joe Lenardi has them playing in Brooklyn as his latest mock.
Hey, Tominaga would probably be a big... I was telling somebody, they should have a translator travel with Casey. And if there's more, I just think it would make the interviews pop even more if he could speak Japanese. Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you what, Sean, you raised an interesting question. Is there a possibility he would have his jersey retired as the fifth Nebraska player?
I think he's got a chance.
It's an interesting question.
I think he's captivated. You can say, Strickland's a pro, but this guy's captivated this place. He's filled that arena and charge that place unlike any guy I've seen in a long time.
You have conference player of the year guys that like don't have their
number. Yeah, but they didn't impact the place. Like it's not about just being the best player. It's about impacting what it's done. Mm-hmm. The identity and the way he's captivated things. Like Strickland and these great players, but Casey is an icon. Like the way he's gone. I mean, for a guy, just the way he's done it, it's just different. And I guess you guys may not see it like that, but
I just said it's an
interesting
question.
Let's see him do it first. Let's see him go win a tournament game first, and then we can maybe have that.
Well, who makes that call? Would it be like
I don't know
Trev?
I don't know.
No, I don't think Trev unilaterally makes the call.
Like who made the call to put Lou up there?
I don't know, but like I remember back when Nebraska played in Devaney, like in the early 2000s when I first started covering the team, it was hard to find like a picture of Teron Lou, like. It was weird, the dynamic there. So, like, I think that had a lot to do with it. There was something, some sort of fracture there with when the administration at Nebraska and Lou to where he was still in the league at that point. And he was coaching LeBron James and winning NBA titles on to that point, but you could hardly even see a picture of him in the concourses.
Just an oversight.
It was weird.
So, Lance, Pike, Hoppin,
and Lou.
And Lou. Lance, Stu Lance.
Yes.
Pike. Hoppin' Luke.
Where's Casey rank in the all-time scorer list now?
He's like in the 30s.
That's low. See, Sean, now that's the thing, Sean. I don't know if he has the numbers. I'm not biting back. I said it was an interesting thing
to raise. To Sean's point, though, it goes beyond just the numbers.
Right. It's the impact.
It's the celebrity. The way that he's become arguably the most fun player in Nebraska basketball history.
Right. Yeah. Oh, I get where you're coming from. It's interesting. It's a pretty interesting discussion.
It is.
He'll get as big of a stand if he ever comes back to anything. He'll get as big of an ovation as anybody.
I don't want to go too far down this road, but who would be left out? Like Strickland would be the main one.
Mm-hmm. Vincent Hamilton, Alex March.
Yeah, has Vincent Hamilton stepped foot in the state of Nebraska? I've not seen or heard even like Mikey Moore, like guys like you. Mm-hmm. Some of those great players that played in the league, you don't really. You couldn't even like find them on social media.
Right.
You know, like it's. I mean, there was and those guys are like 50. A lot of these guys now. I mean, it's been a ways.
They're upper 40s, 50s. Interesting.
But all right, fun basketball talk. We'll talk more about the Michigan game and tournament projections for the Big Ten with Robin at the end of the show. But when we come back, we're going to shift over to some football discussion. The dates for Big Ten Media Days have been set. We'll hit on that and more. You're listening here to the Husker Online Show. Hi, it's Sean Callahan here with the Husker Online Show, and we've talked about Factor a lot on the show, but man, they make it easy to eat better with all of their delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Everything is fresh. It's never frozen. It's all chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and they're ready in just 2 minutes. They have over 35 different options to choose from each week. There's Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, Keto. There's more than 60 add-ons that can help you stay fueled and feeling good all day. So what are you waiting for? Get started today and get after your goals. They've got the 2 minute meals, pancakes, smoothies, you name it. There's no prep, no mess. It's all ready to go. It makes life easier when you don't have time to cook. It's going to ensure that you eat right and stay on that diet you're trying to keep here over this new year. And we've got a great deal here with Husker Online to get you started at Factor. Just head to factormeals.com/HuskerOnline50. Use promo code HuskerOnline50. They're going to give you 50% off. That's code HuskerOnline50 at factormeals.com/HuskerOnline50 to get 50% off. Thanks again to Factor for sponsoring us here on the Husker Online Show.
You're listening to the Husker Online Show, your authority on Nebraska athletics.
And we're back here on the Husker Online Show. Sean Callahan, Steve Sipple, Robin Washett here as we're going to talk Big Ten Football Media Days. We kind of learn the roadmap for the summer as kind of what the first official event is. Before we get to that, this segment of the Husker Online Show brought to you by our newest sponsor, Ellerbrock Norris. Ellerbrock Norris has been helping Nebraska business owners protect their purpose for over 120 years with risk management solutions built for local businesses. Ellerbrock Norris partners with you on commercial insurance, group benefits, business exit planning, safety, and more. Start thinking long term with your business and create a risk management strategy to protect it. Are your employee benefits costing, are your costs going through the roof? Talk to Ellerbrock. Workplace injuries are skyrocketing with your workers' compensation costs. Talk to Ellerbrock. You're hoping to retire in the next 10 years and sell the business to family, key employees, or friendly competitor? Talk to Ellerbrock. Ellerbrock Norris is helping you protect your purpose, whether it's your business and the employees in it, or your life outside of work, or your future retirement goals. Head to ellerbrocknorris.com. It's ellerbrock-norris.com/HuskerOnline today to get your free risk evaluation. That's ellerbrock-norris.com/HuskerOnline to get your free risk evaluation. Thank you to Ellerbrock Norris for sponsoring us here on the Husker Online Show. All right, guys, Big Ten Media Days. We know the schedule.
Yes.
And I'm not going to lie, I like that they do it last. Like, ooh, SEC Media Days, it's dang near on the 4th of July weekend now.
The Big Ten is last.
And they always do last. So, essentially, we'll get a nice runway into fall camp.
Yep.
The final week of July, July 23rd to 25th. And then, you know, the next week we start fall camp. So
great point.
I love that. I don't want to go out to Indianapolis like on July 8th to cover media days.
No, then have an interim period before camp.
So it's a great way to do it. But it's 3 days and it's in Indianapolis again. I think there was a thought that this thing could move.
I love it.
West.
I love Indy.
El Toro.
And, you know,
well, it's a beautiful stadium, too.
It used to be in Chicago, and COVID kind of ended that because of
thank God.
Well, in the lunch.
What do you mean?
So they used to have that kickoff lunch.
Yeah.
And autograph session, but the coaches and the administrator, it was a 3.5-hour deal. And I don't think there was a lot of momentum with the key coaches and players. And
Who wants to go to Chicago, Sean?
Sit at a 3.5-hour lunch or 3-hour lunch.
Like, getting to Indy's a lot harder from here.
Book my flights, by the way.
But once you're there, it's such a better experience.
We have great restaurants right downtown, including El Toro.
Hey, and we get a good day. I mean, we get Iowa.
Hold on.
We got Iowa, Penn State.
Two California
and
teams.
UCLA and USC.
Wouldn't you say that the keynote speaker, so to speak, would be Lincoln Riley. He's the big topic of the day, right?
Yeah, and I mean, because you're gonna have a new coach at UCLA.
Yeah, Deshaun Foster,
James Franklin. You know,
Franklin's kind of boring, right?
And Kirk Ferentz, but the situation there with the new offensive coordinator will be interesting.
Yeah, for sure.
I think that's an interesting day. I think day three, though, is really interesting because you have Michigan and Washington and Oregon all on that day.
Yeah, they have some heavy hitters. The national champion and Oregon, which would be one of three teams you would probably pick to win the national championship.
Yeah, basically three playoff teams from the year before if there were a 12-team playoff. Now, Michigan and Washington are going to be far from playoff teams right now until we see what they look like.
No, probably. Sharon Moore would take issue with that, but I know Michigan's schedule, they look like a 3 or 4 loss team.
But they're 8-4, 9-3.
Yeah.
Which you could still find your way in.
At 9-3.
Hey, on that second day, Lincoln Riley, USC's probably the headliner, but I put Nebraska right there.
Would you?
With Matt Rhule. I mean, I think he's become, like, people recognize that he's a soundbite goldmine, and he's interesting. They're an interesting team. He has the Riola factor. Like, I don't know. I mean, I think that's going to be
second
of that group. I mean, sure, maybe Penn State's going to be picked higher, but, like, I think Nebraska, from a media perspective, an interest standpoint.
Yeah, I hope you guys never take for granted Matt Rhule in terms of sound bites.
No way.
My God, we'll go to Indianapolis, and it'll be heaven. Mm-hmm. We'll have so much material from Rhule. I mean, yeah, Matt Rhule is a dynamic speaker, and it'll be on full display in Indianapolis.
It's interesting how they've spread out the teams, though, each day, where day one, really Ohio State is the only one of those six teams that that brings a lot of media.
Yeah.
Illinois, Northwestern, no. Purdue, Rutgers, no media. They have a few people.
Oh, God, hold on a second. No, they don't. Illinois hardly.
No. Northwestern has nobody. No.
Yeah, Northwestern has virtually nobody.
Our good Louis Vakir, the Rivals guy, and he has another job. He's like an engineer, and he runs the Rivals site.
Yeah, and he's
a great guy.
Right. But virtually no media covers Northwestern.
There's not even a beat writer for, like, the paper in Chicago.
For Chicago Tribune.
They just kind of have, like, a college football writer that, you know, floats around and moves around, and Notre Dame and Northwestern and Illinois. And
I don't think Rutgers has a big media presence either.
The New Jersey Star-Ledger, you know, they actually have, I think, a
Newark.
Newark. They have the Tony Soprano newspaper. When you'd see him walk down the driveway and get the paper in the morning.
Was that the Newark Star-Ledger?
Yeah, hell yeah.
Really? Interesting. Yeah, he'd walk down there in his robe all the time.
When I walk out and get my paper in the morning, I always think of that scene when Tony Soprano walks out to get his paper in the robe.
You and Tony Soprano have a lot of similarity.
Don't know about that.
Say no more.
Well, you both drive big SUVs, number one.
I don't have a driver.
Yeah. So not too far away from that.
I don't own a gun.
How close? Well, you're from South Omaha. How close are you to having a driver?
Soon, no. But
you're pretty. Wouldn't you say Sean's knocking on the door?
Probably use one.
Yeah, have a driver.
You need a driver.
Yeah.
I can't afford one, man. Okay. As far as that goes, think about how much media cover Nebraska. How much presence is there? Compared to the most places.
Well,
significant.
I think day two will be the biggest of the days because the LA teams will draw a lot. Mm-hmm. Penn State has a big group, and we have a big group.
Yeah, I don't know. Wait a second. Will the LA teams have a lot of media?
I just think it will nationally just be a draw, like that kind of anchors everyone in.
Yeah. Yeah, the national writers.
And
people from around the conference that cover the league are all going to be around it.
Yeah, it'll be a big deal.
Reporters are going to be there.
Yeah, 100.
But the way we go about it, and this has changed over the years. I mean, you used to kind of like, we're going to cover every team and do a write-up. We've learned with metrics and data, Nebraska fans don't want to read Steve Sipple's recap of Rutgers.
They don't want to read Sipple writing about Deshaun Foster entering the... I mean, there was a time.
Oh, yeah.
Laugh all you want.
I did it.
Yeah. There was a time where I would go to Big Ten Media Days and say, okay, I'm going to write about Deshaun Foster taking over UCLA.
And you just give it hell.
Give it holy hell. I mean, write...
Till midnight.
And these great quotes from the side podium.
Yeah.
And, God, you're feeling
and
good
now that you can see
like
the
200
metrics.
Views.
Right.
And
exactly.
Then you could just find like Ethan Piper at Media Days talking about the new suit he got.
Right.
And that's going to get 10,000 views.
Easily.
No, that's true.
I'm not even like
that's
that
not
far
exaggeration.
Off.
No, that's not exaggeration.
And you could write like a Pulitzer Prize winning Deshaun Foster column, right, and it might get 1,000 views.
Right. Just I've lived it. You've lived it. I've lived it. So yeah, we'll go write about Nebraska, and there'll be plenty to write about because Matt Rhule gives you plenty to write about, mm-hmm, and that is beautiful. And I will never take it for granted.
We ready to speculate on the players he's going to take?
Ooh,
well, I haven't put any thought into it. So
well, let's do this.
Right, I would now think Ben Scott or Bryce Benhart will go. One of those two linemen.
Alignment.
And Benhart, it's a matter of if he wants to go.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Probably what about Scott, like a too. Fedoni?
I lean two defense, one offense.
Oh yeah, good point.
Ty or Nash, probably.
Ty or Nash, Bryce or Ben.
And then who else on defense?
Somebody, Tommy Hill.
DB or Buford.
Tommy Hill, Buford, Gifford.
Gifford
makes sense.
Yes.
Gifford makes the
I'm thinking
most
of the dudes that come up like during the week to every press conference. Gifford's one of them. Robinson, Nash.
Tommy Hill, though, could still get a call.
I think you bring the guys who elected to come back. Ty Robinson, mm-hmm, Gifford. That's what I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
Ty Robinson,
Ben
Gifford.
Hart.
Ben Hart. Tommy Hill's not a bad – Tommy Hill's very, very good interview,
though. Tommy Hill will be like second or third team All Big Ten preseason.
Really?
I mean, he led the league in pass breakups last year.
You know, you're talking about my guy right now.
T. Hill?
Yeah.
It's your boy.
That you once sort of disparaged me for jumping on his bandwagon. Now you're touting him as a second team. I like it.
All right.
You come around.
Well, don't forget about Deshaun Singleton. He got hurt, but yeah, he'll be a factor.
I'm
not.
He comes down and hits you. He does.
Sledgehammer.
Yeah, he comes down into the box, and it's business time.
Yeah, but I think it's two defense guys.
Right, we gotta get to break.
Two defense guys, one offense guy. That's my guess.
I think we named Gifford, Nash, or Ty. And then Ben Hart.
And then we're El Toro Mexican Restaurant Tuesday night, Wednesday night, yeah, St. We'll Elmo.
Oh, my God.
A late dinner again.
Oh, my God.
Let's go.
This is
the countdown.
Can't
is
get
on
here soon enough.
Actually. And then we go home Thursday.
Yeah. And then we start.
Oh, then you're going to Wichita that weekend.
Yeah. And Wichita for a speaking engagement that you gave me. Thank you. And then we start camp.
All right.
And into a very interesting season. I mean, we're. I don't think we talk about enough how interesting this season could be.
Well, then we're home for like ever. Nebraska doesn't go on the road for a long time.
Yeah, like the first month of the season.
Think about the level. A
lot of good postgame shows are going to happen right
Absolutely.
Here.
Think about the defense, the schedule, and the freshman quarterback. Now, that's enough to write about.
In the momentum, that schedule, the opportunity the momentum could give the season.
Hell, I didn't even mention Colorado coming in.
I mean, you've seen what the momentum's done for Pinnacle Bank Arena. Yeah. For Nebraska basketball.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Take that times 10
right.
If they get off to a good start at home.
Yeah. No doubt about it.
Yeah, the fan base is hungry.
All right, when we come back, we're going to talk NFL Combine and want to talk more about Brian Ferentz. He was in Lincoln. We had it in Tunnel Talk. And you know, I want to talk more about that because definitely some other people tried to take that on in his own life. We'll clarify what that was and give you some more insight on that next. You're listening here to the Husker Online Show.
Hi, it's Sean Callahan with Husker Online. We all have smartphones, and we all know they're pretty amazing, but they also can be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. So US Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for five. That's right. A company that sells phones wants us to put down our phones and see what we find. Learn more at uscellular.com/builtforus.
You're listening to the Husker Online Show, your authority on Nebraska athletics.
And we're back here on the Husker Online Show. Sean Callahan, Steve Sipple, Robin Washett, having fun as usual on this beautiful day in March. And before we get into some NFL Combine talk and more, this segment of the Husker Online Show brought to you by our great friends and sponsor, Nuts.com. Let me tell you, we were introduced to Nuts.com back in the football season, and it's been a staple here in the Husker Online offense. They have everything from roasted nuts, dried fruits, sweets, pantry staples, you name it. You can even get coffee on there, but the pricing is great as well. I know everything we've gotten from there, it's gone. Like, usually Sipple sneaks up here on the weekends.
Really, Sean?
And just eats nuts.com.
Easter seems like a good idea for some of this stuff, right?
Oh,
Easter.
Yeah.
Easter. Yeah.
Get up, and we had that Christmas basket. We kind of went all in on this big Christmas basket.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, you and Rob went hard after the peanut clusters chocolate. I couldn't get one.
I did.
Yeah.
It was kind of embarrassing how much
it was. Thank you for saying that.
Sipple's a dry fruits guy. I learned that about you through nuts.com.
Yeah, since I was a boy, I like dry fruit.
As a boy back in Columbus.
But if you've never tried nuts.com, we got you covered. For our first time users of nuts.com, we got a deal for you right now at nuts.com/Husker to spend $29. They're going to give you not only free shipping, but a free gift. That's nuts.com/Husker. Take advantage of that deal by spending $29 and you'll get free shipping and a free gift on your first order of nuts.com. Thanks again to nuts.com for sponsoring us here on the Husker Online Show. All right, guys, we had the NFL Combine going on. Not one Husker guy there. And I'll be honest, the NFL Combine was dead to me. I didn't even watch it. I was all in this weekend on my daughter's swim meet and Nebraska basketball.
Can I help you? Here's what you do, Sean. You go to your daughter's swim meet, Kit. Good freestyler.
Butterfly.
Butterfly. She won a butterfly. Take your phone and watch TikTok videos.
Of the combine.
That was like I watched every Joe Milton throw on TikTok. They had every throw. Watched every J.J. McCarthy throw on TikTok. You can watch. I watched Worthy, what's his, the Texas receiver, run a 4.22. Run a 4.22.40. I watched it probably five times on TikTok. You can do that. It was, you can watch it. I'm surprised you're not more interested. The guy ran a 4.22.
Does the 40 matter the way it used to? Because look at the top 10 combine 40-yard dash times, and look at what they did in the NFL. Nothing.
Really?
Nothing.
I think guys...
Oh, wait, what was like a Trey Palmer? 4.33?
Yeah, but he was just like a number four receiver. It wasn't like he was like a...
No.
You know, Tyreek Hill's the exception to the rule. Like, yeah. Tyreek Hill's maybe the fastest football player ever to play the game. And I'm not... I mean, I think you would back that, right, Robin?
No.
I mean, the mile per hour...
Tyreek Hill's done well.
But, yeah, I think when you talk about the combine, what these guys do is they go train somewhere, and they just eat elite, like, salmon and chicken and broccoli for, like, 3 months. They get their weight down, and they learn how to run and do 40s, and they're going to run great times. I mean, if you're spending that kind of money on training and dieting to get ready for this one day, yeah, you better run great.
You know what they do? You're right to a certain extent. Now, I would say this, the running back group there didn't run well. It wasn't a fast running back group.
No 4.3s?
No, not that I know of. They were, it was a slower running back group based on what I saw on TikTok. I kind of get what you mean. No Nebraska guys means we didn't cover it. The Nebraska guys that would have been in that ballpark are working out with Chris Slatt and South Lincoln. We're talking about Luke Reimer. We're talking about
Nuri
Noili. We're talking about Phelan Sanford. We're talking about Anthony Grant. We're talking about Nate Gary is training with Chris Slatt right now, who was the fifth round. He was a fifth round draft
pick. Like Omar Brown, though, is not.
Omar Brown, not training here.
No, he's a guy to watch.
Quentin Newsome, not training here. Those are both guys to watch. In fact, Newsome, wouldn't you say Newsome would be the highest pick, the best bet to be highest pick Nebraska player?
Quentin him Newsome? Or Omar? I mean, I think Luke Reimer has value though. Like he can get on a special team, he can run.
He's healthy right
but
now.
But his injury history has hurt him, I think.
It has. Now, he's still the third all-time leading tackler at Nebraska. So, but he played through a lot of injuries to become the third all-time leading tackler at Nebraska. 6'1", 225, very explosive to the ball. I would think he'd have a chance. But I'd still say Newsome is the best bet to be the highest picked is what
I agree.
I'd say. What
do you agree. Say? And I want to amend my 40-yard dash time. Chris Johnson is now fourth as far as the combine 40-yard dash. He had a 4.24. And beyond that, though, nobody.
Now, did any of the quarterbacks really run 40s? I mean, I think I saw Rattler run.
Yeah, Rattler did. Rattler ran.
Quarterbacks didn't even participate.
Yeah, Rattler ran. Yeah, some participated. Like McCarthy participated. Milton participated. There was some, but... Yeah, Rattler ran. They're talking about Spencer Rattler as a mid-round pick, popular mid-round
quarterback.
Your boy Keaton Slovis had the fastest at 4.56.
Okay, and that Notre Dame quarterback that transferred from Wake
Sam Coast, Hartman had a 4.8.
He ran.
Wasn't he running like routes for a while, or like he was doing like
I don't know about that.
No, well they were using him to help. I forget what he did at the combine. I saw a video of him like doing something totally out of position just to help out.
The word I heard was they allowed fans in there maybe for the first time.
Not many.
The thing about
the combine, I've been inside it before.
You've covered it.
Yeah, in 08.
You covered it in 08 when you were at
Rivals.
Rivals.
Yahoo Nat. So like I did national coverage. So it would have been Joe Flacco was there like
really?
That year.
Really?
Did a big article on Colt Brennan.
Did you?
Rest in peace.
So you covered it for Rivals. Slash
Chad Henne was there. Chris Johnson was there that year. I mean, it was a good year just to see that. But you learn covering the combine. You're not covering like what's happening in the dome. You're just doing interviews with people the day or two before they go in the dome. And so, like, it's just part of the process. And they go in the dome. And then when they're done in the dome, they're out of there.
They're out of there.
They go right to the airport. Like, I won't name the player, but – guy I talked to that played for Nebraska said the amount of stress you have at the combine as a player to get your weight right and run right and do all the things, you're just relieved. He goes, when I got to the airport, because I bought a bottle of Jack Daniels and just started going to town. Like, he's like, I was just ready to like let a load off.
Is that right?
Yeah. Because of the stress that you put on yourself.
I'll be darned.
But okay. Pivoting gears. Cause I teased this Brian Ferentz.
Yes.
We had this on Tunnel Talk Friday. That he was in Lincoln last Monday, and you know, I wrestled this all week because I knew what was going to happen if I put this out there because he was in Lincoln. I think that was notable, but there was nothing more to it than that. He was just a visit, stop by. You know, we're not talking about a job or anything like that right now, but you knew the social media clip artists were going to clip this and run with it and do what they did, and that's exactly what happened with a few of these guys that took the premium Tunnel Talk and kind of made it like a headline elsewhere. Sure.
It definitely is notable because it's a rival. And you wonder
what they talk about.
Yeah, but you mentioned it in your article in Tunnel Talk, is that I think we're going to see some high-profile coaches coming through here because of that new athletic facility. In the other thing you mentioned correctly is that coaches do travel around to other places, and it usually goes pretty much unnoticed.
Mm-hmm. Especially guys out of the game.
Right. So guys out of the game will have time. But even guys in the game will go study other places and pick up – if they see something in an offense they like, they'll go. They'll go to that place and study it and pick the brains of the coaches. Usually it won't happen within a conference, but out of conference.
Well, do you remember in the 06 Cotton Bowl, the next spring, Al Borges and the Auburn staff came to Nebraska spring ball.
Great example.
And I recognized Al Borges, and I was like, Coach Borges? And he's like, yeah, we're just here checking things out. And then on the flip side, Kevin Cosgrove and the defensive staff, they went out to Auburn to watch Will Muschamp's defense.
Very common. It's very common. So Ferentz coming here, it raises my eyebrows because it's a rival, a conference, a pretty direct,
you know, a trophy game rival.
Yeah, direct rival. Now that's what's Kirk Ferentz think about all this, you know? But there's obviously a level of trust that Nebraska has with Ferentz. But
Matt Rhule likes the Ferentzes. I mean, there's a mutual respect there. At least it feels that way.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
Are they pulling the curtain all the way back with him around there? I mean,
that's the question.
When he can call his dad and tell him everything that they're doing over there, that
I wouldn't think you'd pull the curtain back.
Yeah, I think I'd give him a very vanilla tour.
Yeah.
I wouldn't pull the curtain back
on the scheme and stuff.
Yeah.
He's not getting the full Jurassic Park lab tour. He's just getting like the window tour.
Yeah, I'd take him in that new facility.
Exactly right. Yeah.
I don't know exactly what you're referring to. What are we talking about?
In the movie Jurassic Park, like there's like the scientists in the lab and how they make
the
dinosaurs.
Like the dinosaur embryos of the amber and all that stuff.
And like the general public, they have to like look by a glass, but like, you know, like the experts got to go inside the lab and talk to the scientists.
So Brian Ferentz was behind the glass is what Sean's trying to say.
So Ferentz is interesting to me.
A little high-level humor there for you.
Right. Yeah, you just went right over me, obviously.
Ferentz is interesting because people would recognize him. Now, there's some coaches that would come in here that nobody would recognize. You know,
Glenn Thomas.
Nobody would recognize.
Could walk downstairs to the post office here in the city of Lincoln, and I don't think anybody in the – I mean
– Not yet. Not yet. No, you're right. And there's a lot of coaches that could come in here and not be recognized, but Ferentz is recognizable. Big dude, you know, distinctive look.
Satterfield's even not real recognizable.
No, no.
Saw him at the basketball game Sunday.
Mm-hmm. With his daughter.
Yeah, his daughter had a Husker jersey on.
Well, so, that was an interesting report. But you're saying there's no analyst job or anything like that that he'd be looking at?
It just doesn't seem – it just seems like there's a conflict of interest there.
Kind of. Plus, he oversaw the last ranked defense in the country.
Offense.
Oh, excuse me,
and
offense.
What's that old saying, though?
Excuse me, offense. What?
What's thicker than water? Blood.
Right. Yeah.
So
– But here's the thing. If you're a Rule, I would be very hesitant to add him to the staff because it was the worst offense in the country – You're adding that to the most turnover-plagued offense in the country. I just don't think it's a good look.
But that said, he was getting looked at potentially for like an offensive line job in the NFL.
What Point if Josh taken. Martin could move and have flexibility?
Tight ends coach, yeah.
And then all of a sudden he's a tight ends analyst.
Okay. You might be able
but
to
But I think to your point, though, is it
to work
worth
with Carter Nelson?
All that comes with that?
Right.
Like all of the Iowa backlash that would come of hiring that guy.
Like, would you really want
the most
him,
polarizing guy in Iowa athletics?
Right. Would you really want him on the sidelines at a game?
I'm gonna say no.
Yeah, I think it's not worth it.
Yeah, it's not worth it.
All right, when we come back, time for the mailbag. We'll take your questions. You're listening here to the Husker Online Show.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is Husker Online, your authority on Nebraska athletics.
And we're back here on the Husker Online Show. Sean Callahan, Steve Sipple, Robin Washett, bringing in Abby Barmore as well from the mailbag. But before we get to that, Steve Sipple, it's a beautiful day to make that drive down Highway 2. And where are you going?
Well, Sean, you're going to Nebraska City if you're smart. If you're looking for a new vehicle, go for a new experience at Larson Motors. And we are talking about Nebraska City. And it is a good time to shop. It's the sun's out. It's gorgeous. It makes sense. Larson Motors is one of the Midwest's only dealerships with all the major brands in one location. Finding your new Chevrolet, GMC, Hummer, Ford, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, or Ram never has been easier. Start your new experience today at LarsonMotorGroup.com or at Larson Motors in Nebraska City. Larson Motors, real people, real deals.
All right, time for the mailbag. Abby Barmore, where are we starting?
Okay, first one. Who is the most difficult team on the Husker September schedule? Is it Illinois or Colorado?
Colorado. I just think they haven't beaten Colorado in a long time since Pelini was the coach. I mean, they're 0-3 in their last three. So I just think the monkey of the back and, you know, Shedeur Sanders, if he gets hot, he's as good as any quarterback in the country. And Nebraska got a taste of that last year. So I'm hoping more than likely, I'm sure that's going to be a big noon game on Fox. But, man, it would be awesome if that's a night game.
Oh, yeah.
And just let this place eat the Sanders up.
Yeah.
I mean, I want this to be like the Miami game.
14
game. At night.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Where you just...
Out for blood.
There's no Nebraska nice.
No. Jeez.
Yeah.
I'm chills there.
I'm with you on that one just because of all the other stuff that comes with that game. Like the on-field, you can make a case, but the fact that that's going... The national spotlight will be on Lincoln for that game. And there's going to be so much build-up to that game. So just that added degree of importance takes it up another notch. Where Illinois is a huge game. It's a conference game. you know, a lot of value there. But I think with all the other hoopla surrounding Colorado, it's got to be that one.
Shedeur Sanders is a problem for sure. When there's an NFL level quarterback that can throw it like that, you know they'll have skill position players. That's tough. Man, what are the chances of it being a night game? What percentage would you put on it?
A lot's Fox and what the other game. I haven't looked at what the Big Ten lineup is that week. And it's a home game. So, number one, who has the first pick that week? Will Fox earmark that game as one of theirs? If not, could it be CBS at 2:30 or could it be NBC at night? I mean, it's going to be one of those three. There's no question on that.
We all agree. Abby, Colorado is the harder game. Harder game.
And, yeah, just having Deion Sanders coaching in Lincoln. I mean, that's cool. I'm excited for that night, day, morning, whatever it's going to be.
Yeah, whatever it is, yeah.
Next one. Will Fred Hoiberg be the Big Ten coach of the year?
She's got a case for sure. I think Matt Painter is going to be hard to beat just because of what Purdue – they've been the one constant all season long. I think that he'll probably end up getting it, but you could easily make a very, very strong case for what Nebraska was projected to do with what they've accomplished, the teams they beat. They beat Matt Painter head-to-head in their only matchup.
Right.
And, you know, they've surpassed any expectation anyone had set for them this season.
The question becomes, Rob, is it harder to meet expectations or exceed them? Sometimes I think meeting expectations is really hard, especially when you're picked to win the conference. Sure. I mean, and they've met them.
Yeah, they got a chance to be the number one overall seed in the country.
Right.
So, I mean, like, that's hard to dismiss.
Yeah. Right.
Whereas as great as Nebraska's season's been, Purdue has kind of been the gold standard in the league all year long.
Right. I think it's either Fred or Painter. The thing that you ask yourself, do you reward coaches that go into a season with really low expectations? Mm-hmm. I mean,
for me, that I think there's more value in that. Like when you coach a team well above what anyone expected.
Like
from
David
you,
Braun.
Yeah. I mean, like, okay, Purdue won a bunch of games. They have Zach Edey. Like, right. Okay, you should win a lot of games. So, like, it's up to me.
Right.
I'm probably picking Fred, assuming they don't fizzle out towards the end of the year.
They don't have a true pro on this NBA player on Nebraska.
They don't
roster.
Have a first or second team all conference player.
So you don't think Casey or anyone's going to make
Casey
second?
Casey might get third team.
Not even second. Wow. No. Have you had to do your ballot yet?
Not yet. Haven't
See, that it. Goes back to the. Do you
Casey's too inconsistent. He's averaging like 13 points a
right,
game.
Right. Sean, that
like,
goes back to why we reacted the way we did to hanging that band, or, you know, making. Retiring his jersey. He's only averaging 13 a game. It's hard to propel him past all these guys.
Nebraska doesn't have a player in the top 20 in the conference in scoring. Casey's the top at 23rd.
Well, but anyway, yeah, I would say it's either Painter or Fred.
Yeah.
You couldn't make a case for...
If I'm voting, Fred.
Couldn't make a case for Underwood.
Yeah. The Collins.
Collins. Painter or Fred? Painter or Fred?
Next question.
Would you rather see Nebraska ball play the first round in Omaha or the Husker baseball team make the College World Series?
Ooh.
Basketball. I don't know. Selfishly.
I'd say basketball because it'd be novel.
Yeah,
we've done the CWS thing. Not that it wouldn't be fun, but that basketball would be a novel experience for us, mm-hmm. right? Never been done in Omaha.
And the scene in Omaha.
Oh, God.
I mean, first NCAA tournament game in a decade with a chance to win the first ever in Omaha.
Yep.
In Creighton's arena.
Yeah.
I mean, just the way Nebraska's fall over the last 20 years, 25 years, it's allowed Creighton to get where they're at, too. It's kind of, you know, Nebraska's not where Creighton's at, but you think about it, Nebraska was so far ahead of Creighton when Danny Nee was the coach, then Dana Altman, and then
good point.
To be able to, like, win your first tourney game in the arena.
In their building.
In their building would be something.
Yeah. And it'd be novel.
Now, something Nebraska baseball and the CWS, that's a scene, too. I remember 2005. I covered that for the Daily Nebraskan, and that was awesome. The
was that
tailgating?
When Bush was there?
No, that was 2000.
Oh. That was, okay, Bush was there in 2000.
I met President Bush.
Yeah.
He came through the press box.
Yeah, he did. It was amazing.
He just came right up to me and shook my hand, and I was like 20 years old. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, that's the president.
But if I had to pick, going basketball.
Yeah, me too, Abby.
Okay, my next one. Is there another player that you've seen ignite Nebraska basketball or sports like Casey Tominaga?
Mm. No.
Sue. I mean, the 09 Big 12 championship game.
Yeah.
like Sue. On that stage was a performance I can't really remember. I mean, yeah.
But you look at like the greats of Nebraska football compared to the greats of Nebraska basketball, and we're, I mean, obviously Sue is up there, but there'd been others. Whereas there's never been a Casey in Nebraska basketball.
Like Piakowski's run in the Big 8 tournament when they won it.
Mm-hmm. But even then, was he a national
42 points in
guy?
The, he had 42 know? Points in the Oklahoma game.
Wasn't really national.
But yeah, he wasn't regarded. That's
what, I mean, Casey's international.
Right.
I mean, that's where, like, there's never been anything like him.
So here, Sue would here. Be the closest we've seen of late. Of late. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to think in my mind here. I mean,
I don't think you say, I mean, Crouch won the Heisman, right? Mm-hmm. And he was a national story, but now didn't have the impact. Had definitely a local impact because he's from Millard. But
that's what I'm saying. Like with football, there's just so many guys that you can name,
right?
Whereas basketball, it's few and far between. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I'll go.
I mean, Tommy Frazier was pretty.
Ooh, hold on, yeah, Sean. Old, yeah,
so the cover of video games. Yep.
I might go Frazier here.
It is crazy to think that Frazier never won a Heisman, and Crouch did. I mean, because if you had a pick, I have all the respect for Crouch, but I don't think anybody in their prime would take Crouch over Frazier.
Frazier impact maybe a little more. I'd say more than Casey.
Yeah,
I got to say.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm not arguing with you on that one.
Tommy Frazier was.
I think Tommy Frazier. His record. I mean,
he's the face of what is considered the greatest college football team of all time.
There it was.
Hard to beat that.
Yeah.
I think he only lost
put that very perfect.
One ranked game maybe in his career.
Yeah.
The Florida State, or two Florida State losses. That was it.
Frazier was a phenomenon within the phenomenon.
And he lost to Iowa State. That was it. Wasn't he 33-3 or something
like
that?
Sounds like right.
As a starting quarterback. Iowa State and two Florida State losses.
All right. We settled on Frazier.
Okay. What were we at on time here? One final question.
Okay, our last one. This one is actually in the tweet that Sean sent out, which we don't normally get a last one, but here we go. It's kind of interesting. If you could turn into any animal, what would you choose and why?
Okay, I like that.
I don't like these.
I like that.
Okay, I'll go.
What is it?
You know what's funny? I was actually having this conversation with my kid about, like, what would you rather be? And then we just had, like, five animals. And, like, would you rather be a tiger, a bear, eagle or something. I said eagle just to be able to fly.
Yeah.
And like when you see a bald eagle or something in person, just how majestic they are. Like, you're the symbol of the country. I'd say bald eagle.
A predator eagle, because you know you're not going to get messed with.
I mean, they're just badass. Like, if you watch like a slow motion video of an eagle swooping down and picking a salmon out of the water.
Rob is operating at a high level.
Well, this is the conversations you have with 3-year-olds. Yes.
High level conversation.
Bald eagle.
With your 3-year-old.
Answer. In.
All right.
I can't even top that one. I mean, because flying would be an advantage and you're a predator. You're not going to get messed with.
Could I sell you King of the Jungle?
Lion?
The lion?
Yeah.
You sure could.
To be known as the King of the Jungle, and you talk about majestic. You see a lion whipping through a field.
Look out.
Yeah. I'm going lion. I appreciate the hair. Mm-hmm. You know, Sean. So yeah, I'd say a lion, or I would maybe go racehorse too. It'd be cool to be a racehorse.
Like Secretariat.
Yeah.
Like
or just a good race. Just any good racehorse. I mean, you think about a racehorse when it prances out into the paddock.
Oh yeah.
Now look at that baby. Mm. You know?
Beauty.
Yeah. You know. So yeah, those would be the two.
All right. When we come back.
Sean, what about
you? Never
you?
Gave your animal.
I wanted to say eagle.
Okay, you can say eagle.
You can say eagle.
Some kind of bird. I mean, something that flies.
Some kind of bird.
Like I'd cut. I'd
How cut about a macaw, Sean?
I'd cut down my travel.
Toucan.
I mean, what entices me about being a bird is like you'd cut down your travel bill right there.
Oh, yeah. You think about travel quite a bit.
The Big Ten travel would be so much easier.
We're all flying.
And you could just kind of fly down on the sideline and like listen in and then fly back up. Yeah, I mean, it'd be great. I mean,
do you think you'd still have the same job if you were a bird?
I'd be groundbreaking.
You're pretty conspicuous, though, flying down to the sideline, Sean. There's an eagle above.
I mean, we could make
right
it like,
now. There's an eagle above Matt Rule.
He's got a credential.
It's like Zootopia. You know the animals. Like
I think that's Sean.
Oh, Callahan's listening in on the huddle again.
A little conspicuous, Sean.
Just sit on top of the
damn bald eagle on the sideline.
What's the wire with the camera? Like the sky cam?
Yeah.
Just sit on the wire of the sky cam.
Let out a big screech every once in a while.
We got real problems.
All right, when we come back, we'll talk some Big Ten basketball seating and where Nebraska might fall next. You're listening here to the Husker Line Show.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is Husker Online, your authority on Nebraska athletics.
Final segment here of the Husker Online Show. Sean Callahan, Steve Sippel, Robin Washed, as Nebraska basketball plays Sunday. It's an 11 a.m. game on the BTN, right, Rob?
Yes. Yes.
Like, that's always something that kind of Nebraska fans wonder, like, how come Nebraska can't ever crack one CBS game? Like, they're always BTN, maybe FS1.
A lot of those are predetermined way
based on
advance.
Ratings draws.
Yeah, and so like going into the year, I'm sure the networks are like, well, let's get Nebraska basketball on in March. You know,
said no one ever.
Yeah, so, well, maybe that could change now. But when these were decided, that was the thought.
What a draw! I mean, what a Rob Sunday at 11 a.m. in Michigan. Good God,
that's going to be a weird environment.
It's going to be really weird. Really,
it's their
weird.
Senior night, but like that
senior
place,
morning.
Senior morning, yeah. just. The chaotic right
I mean, if
now.
You really were to guess.
Juwan Howard's fighting the strength coach. They're firing him. And right. Then people want the strength coach over the head coach. It's weird.
What would your estimate be for a crowd total at that game? 11 a.m. Sunday.
Is it 10,000 capacity? It's not a big – it's not like a 15,000 no. seat arena.
I mean, we're talking about 2,000, right? Like a crowd of 2,000? That's it's a Sunday morning, Rob. It's a Sunday morning.
And there
how many Michigan fans are going to get up?
It's just under 14,000.
This is the worst Michigan record that they've had that I can ever remember.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What are they right now?
Eight wins?
Eight. And
3-16.
Phil Martelli has five of those when Juwan Howard stepped away with his heart procedure.
8 wins overall, and I think they're 3-16 in the league. They came to Lincoln, and they were down 43-13.
Mm-hmm.
43.
They look like they could not wait to get back on the plane and go home.
43-30.
I feel like it went downhill for Juwan Howard when he tried to fight Greg Gard. Like from that moment, like it hasn't been.
No, it was a Wisconsin assistant.
Yeah, it wasn't Gard.
He open-handed a Wisconsin.
Like he was arguing with Gard, and then the guy got his. And then it was. But anyway, like added to the list of people that Juwan Howard has fought since he's been in Michigan. Like there's the fact that there's multiple fights or dust ups that he's been involved in.
There's three.
Says what you need to know.
There's three dust ups.
Most recently with his own staff member.
But, okay, Robin, they win their double bye, possibly the three seed.
Like, yes. When they're in, no doubt about it. Like
lose.
As a top four.
Now, if they lose that Michigan, I'd put it like at like 60% or better, they still could get the double bye.
Yeah, so then it comes into the tiebreakers with Wisconsin,
Iowa,
then Northwestern, and Iowa. And I think... maybe Michigan State's in that conversation too. So then it gets a little complicated, and it's just probably going to be determined on how the rest of the games go on that Saturday and Sunday. So, but
just
all of those scenarios are moot if Nebraska beats Michigan, which they should. You would hope so. And then they will be the four for sure, and then potentially even the three if Northwestern loses either of its remaining two games against Michigan State or Minnesota.
Very possible.
Yeah,
so what's a 3-6 or a 4-5 game? If they're the three, are you talking about on a game against like Iowa or Michigan State in the 3-6?
I mean, again, it depends on how all the tiebreakers shake out because there's a big jumble of teams right now that it's going to come down to not only head-to-head records but also winning percentage against the highest-ranked team and all that sort of stuff. So it's hard to say what the opponent will be, but I think you want that three seed because I think that three seed's probably going to give you a better path.
You avoid Purdue,
yeah,
till the end. I mean, And sometimes, like, and I could see Purdue, you know, they're going to want to win it. But sometimes you see teams kind of pull back in the conference tourney to save for the NCAA. Like, you don't want to go on a five-game run or four-game run in Indy if you're going to be playing the next week necessarily. You just want to, you know, hold serve and get your seed the next week.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Nebraska heads into this healthy. That's big. I'd say playing well. I mean, have they won 5 of 6 at this point, Nebraska? They have momentum. They're scary. I mean, listen, Nebraska's a dangerous team right now. One thing that doesn't get talked about, maybe because it's not a big deal, it is in my mind. I've been struck by how live Nebraska's legs look. I would give credit to their training staff. I'd give
Kurt Joseph.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'd give credit to Fred for bringing them along well. For instance, Juwan Gary looks like he's playing in the first game of the year. Even Casey, who gets so much attention, gets so much. There's so much physicality associated with guarding him, but he looks great.
Well, look at Josiah Alec. He's playing on two bad ankles
right
now.
Alec looks
great.
He's
walking around with a boot right now.
Well, Sam Hoiberg, how undersized he is. Like,
it's fine. It's just precautionary. But
like Sam Hoiberg, for as undersized as he is, like, mm-hmm. I mean, he gets in there and doesn't back down.
Springy. All they look very well-conditioned. It's a very well-conditioned team. Mm-hmm. It is.
And it helps the fact that they're so deep. They're able to. Yes. They're not relying on 6 guys to carry the workload like has been the case so many times. You can go 8, potentially 9 if Eli Rice ever gets healthy again deep. That, you know, that takes so much strain off of your top-line guys.
All right, so lots to follow. 11 a.m., Nebraska basketball at Michigan. It's going to be a big one on Sunday. Hopefully, we're not talking about a game until Friday in Minneapolis. And Steve and Rob are going to be out there together covering the Big Ten tournament. Next week, they're going to do a special Husker Line headline show that Robin's going to host.
Yep.
We'll be covering El Toro, too. We'll be covering El Toro.
El Toro.
This is Minneapolis.
Oh, we're going to Minneapolis.
Not Indianapolis.
Yeah. Oh, my God. You are the babe in the woods. You thought?
Sorry.
You thought we were going to Minneapolis? I was like, wait.
I just got it mixed up for a second.
It was the Big Ten Media Days talk.
Yeah, I was having.
He's got his mind locked in on that mezcal margarita, just bubbling with dry ice.
All right, but check us out.
It does bubble with dry ice.
HuskerOnline.com. Get 2 months for $1. Use promo code NU1. That's the best deal you're going to get. Tons of great basketball content, in-state tour content, spring football preview content, women's basketball, baseball. We have it all. That's promo code NU1, 2 months for $1. For Steve Sippel, Robin Watchett, I'm Sean Callahan. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks again for joining us this week on Husker Online, your authority on Nebraska athletics.